Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us. We are your people dashboard, helping you become smarter and more data-driven so you can make better workforce decisions. How do we do that? Well, we have a people dashboard that allows you to use pre-built API connectors to all of the systems that you use. So your Zenefits, Bamboo, Greenhouse, Namely, Trinet, Sapling, Glassdoor. We help you bring all that data together into one streamlined, centralized, and beautiful people dashboard so that you can view, track, share, and analyze all your HR metrics in one place and automate your entire HR reporting process. Go to employeecycle.com, sign up for a free trial. We'll meet you there, say hello, and help you get started. But that's enough about me and our company, because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Kim Chaplin, Director of People Ops at Thousand Eyes. And today we're going to discuss how to optimize the employee experience. Kim, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Kim, welcome!
Thank you so much, Bruce. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. So Kim, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, which is asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Oh, that's a good question. So I majored in psychology in college. And I've always had a very math-driven background. Both of my parents have master's degrees in math from Johns Hopkins University. And so they were very disappointed in college when I decided to major in psychology. My dad used to refer to it as the soft science. And so I went through my, you know, school years trying to figure out what I was going to do, if I was going to, you know, become a psychologist or a counselor. And I realized that I really was interested in social psychology. I took a social psych class my senior year of college, and it just blew me away with the way that people behave, right, in groups. And so when I went out into the business world, HR was sort of the closest to that. I actually worked at NASA just after college. I was a research assistant at NASA in the Human Factors Division. And it was fascinating to me because what we did was we went out there and we took new technologies that were being created, like the first airplane to use GPS to taxi in low visibility conditions. I got to work on that project to see how the flight crew would incorporate new technology into their processes and procedures. And it gave me a great background for HR, because what I realized is people will take technology and use it in ways you never could think of. And so it was exciting to me to do all the research, but I realized that I really wanted to put it into practice. I did not just want to be kind of stuck in a corner researching this theoretical stuff. I wanted to see how it worked. And I wanted to make the world better, right? I wanted to make it more efficient. And I wanted people to be able to use technology and processes and so forth to make their lives better. And so it was really exciting to me to get into HR and be able to see, like, as we've talked about, you get to use your processes and your technology to really improve people's lives.
Awesome. And we really appreciate that background. So today our topic is how to optimize the employee experience. But before we talk about optimizing it, what is your definition of the employee experience?
My definition of the employee experience is really about the employee life cycle. You know, I love that your company's called the employee cycle, because when I talk to my team about how we set up our programs and how we manage our employee population through those programs, it's about their life cycle with the company. So from onboarding to, you know, career development to promotions to even essentially, you know, leaving employment, right? I hate the word termination. I always want to adopt the UK that calls them leavers. And I think that's such a better term for it, right? They're just leaving the company. And you know, we have this concept now of the boomerang employee who comes back, right? we have such change, especially in the technology world, that companies are getting bought. My company was just bought by Cisco, and we have a number of employees at our company who used to work for Cisco, right? And so you have this life cycle that even repeats itself sometimes. And so I think about the employee experience as all those touch points along that life cycle, and how do we make those touch points great moments?
I love that you talked about looking at all the touch points, because that's exactly what we look to help companies do as well. As you mentioned, our company is called Employee Cycle. So it's really about optimizing all those aspects along the journey of the employee life cycle. But speaking of that journey, you said that it's really about hitting all those touch points and inflection points from start to finish. So if we could start from the beginning and eventually move our way down the journey of the employee experiences, of the employee experience, what are the most important milestones or inflection points? And let's dive into a few of them to talk about how do you actually optimize that part of the process.
Sure. Yeah. I love to talk about, you know, employee onboarding, and definitely my programs. My first love is compensation, but I also love benefits. And I have a big background in both of those. And what I talk about is really making things easy to use, right? When I worked at SolarWinds, our company motto was easy to find, easy to download, easy to install, easy to use. And then I went to ShoreTel, which was another technology company that was a communication system. And their whole concept was mobile, right? Mobility, easy to use again. And with the human factors background, that's what I'm always trying to do. Our plans are so complicated in HR, you know, especially benefit plans. They're so complicated to understand with the IRS regulations. And I tell my team all the time, make it simple for people. They don't have time to be the expert in this. You're the expert. Make it simple for them. And it's a fine line a lot of times between handholding someone and making it easy for them to do something. So we talk a lot about that too. You know, when you start with onboarding, that's where you do need to handhold. I mean, I always joke, right? Your first day at work, like if you can find the bathroom and figure out how to use your computer, right? And log into your email, that's success. So I try to bring it back to what's going to make the employee successful. I had this really brilliant boss who said, he called it enabling productivity. So what can we do as HR professionals each day to enable productivity for our employees? So, you know, if you want to start with onboarding, really make things simple, right? You have these situations where it's very complicated. And, you know, I find that in the technology world, we can get a little bit, I'll call it kind of snobby, right? We like our acronyms. We like to think we're smart. And what we need to be doing instead is getting rid of acronyms, especially in the employee experience. Nobody knows what they are. They're like inside jokes. And no one, you know, everyone wants to be a part of the inside joke, right? Nobody wants to be left out. And so when we talk about the employee experience, you have to be thinking about how are you making this easy on people? It's as easy as it should be, right? Minimizing the roadblocks and the challenges. When we talk about benefits, the saying is like the devil is in the details, right? When you do your annual open enrollment each year, I always end my open enrollment sessions on a Monday. And do you know why I do that?
No, I don't.
So most people, when they're choosing their benefits, they want to choose their benefits with their partner, right? If they have a partner, a significant other, they want to choose those benefits over the weekend. And so what happens is you have a 2-week session. And I always make sure my open enrollment sessions go over 2 weeks, two weekends, because then you have those 2 weekends to sit down with your partner and make some decisions, right? The first weekend is you start looking through the material and you think, oh God, we've got to, you know, look at what did we spend on medical last year? What kind of prescriptions did we have? And maybe you have to gather some information. So then you need another weekend to kind of sit down and think about it. And then you come in on Monday and you're confident it's the last day. Everyone procrastinates, right? You come in on Monday and you make your decisions. And I've always laughed at you know, companies that will end their open enrollment session on a Friday, right? Because what happens then Friday afternoon, me and my employees are running around trying to chase people who didn't get the email, didn't log in, had trouble logging in, didn't make their choices, you know, and so you really allow yourself and the employees to be successful.
Interesting. So I just want to go back to onboarding for a second, because this is the most important part of bringing an employee on. And this is the first time they actually get to see how the company operates after their job interview.
That is a really great point. And I can tell you that I have onboarded at some places where I've looked at how they handle it and thought to myself, did I just make a bad decision?
So you spoke about acronyms, and I don't know if that was specifically about onboarding or just in HR in general, but what are some of those acronyms that you were mentioning?
Yeah, that's a good question. So especially in the benefits world, right, you've got all the different names of medical plans, the PPO, the POS, the EPO, the HMO, right? And they mean different things at different companies. Different insurance carriers will set up these different kinds of plans. And so now you have the high deductible plans, the HDHP or the CDHP, consumer driven health plan, right? I can't even keep them straight, and that's my job. So what I try to do with our benefits communications is we try to simplify them. We try not to use acronyms. There's the FSA, which is the flexible spending account. So there's a medical flexible spending account, and then there's a dependent care. And so what you'll see a lot of times is DCFSA, and you put that in an email and people's eyes just glaze over, right? Why can't you go ahead and type out dependent care FSA? And I understand that, you know, you don't want to be typing all these things out all the time, but these types of acronyms are confusing to people.
Interesting. So we definitely want to get rid of, simplify, dumb down these acronyms or terms that may make you sound smart, but is totally confusing the employee. We want to streamline things. When it comes to onboarding, do you consider the check-ins as part of onboarding? So that 30-day, 60-day, 90-day check-in, is that onboarding or is that something else?
I think it's still part of onboarding, and it's part of the whole life cycle. You know, that's another thing I see a lot of times is, okay, we're so anxious to get these people in the door, right? Hiring managers, we've got to hire this person. We've got to get them in the door. We've got to get them productive. And then like the minute they're on board, we forget about them. You know, we just assume that they know everything, that they're acclimating well, and that we have nothing left to do. And so I don't like looking at them as distinct phases. You know, it's a journey that employees are moving through, and different people will have different onboarding points. You know, another thing is the onboarding of people to hit certain metrics. You know, it's funny to me when you watch companies and you know exactly what their recruiting metrics are because they're trying to game the system, right? I've seen companies where then the headcount plan, you need to, you know, you have a manager whose goal is to hire a certain number of quota carrying reps by the end of the quarter. Well, then all of a sudden HR is getting requests to start people out of cycle, right? Just to get them into their metric. And so what happens then is when you start people, you know, out of cycle or out of the sort of normal process, people get lost, things break, things don't go right. And I sort of joke that, like, it's kind of a law that if once the minute you're like an exception for some reason, your stuff is going to be messed up forever.
Interesting. I'm listening to you talk about the onboarding process and when people first start, but I'm curious, does onboarding really start in the hiring process by setting the right expectations so that when you are onboarded, it seems like everybody actually was talking and it doesn't seem like you're working for two different companies? Or do you think onboarding actually starts the second you start filling out your onboarding or new hire paperwork?
Well, again, it comes back to that employee experience. What kind of employee experience are you trying to create? And then you make that the candidate experience as well, And so, no, technically onboarding doesn't start when you're a candidate. And it's unfortunate. A lot of people who are candidates don't make it to become employees. So you want to sort of balance that aspect as well, is we want to give people a good experience as a candidate, but they're not employees yet. And you can't treat them like an employee.
When it comes to comp, you said the three major areas for you and the employee experience are onboarding, comp, and benefits. So I definitely want to cover compensation as well. When it comes to that, what are the core elements of that? I mean, some of them I think are promotions and obviously paying people on par with the market. But what are some of those other areas that you should be optimizing the employee experience, specifically around compensation, that most people might not think about?
Yeah, that's a great question. Especially with compensation, where I tell people to really focus is when you have people in multiple people in the same job, right? So take a customer service rep. Where you have to be very consistent about compensation is in those situations, because the first thing people do is talk to each other, right? What do you make? What's your hourly rate? And, you know, it's fruitless to try and stop that, right? It's illegal to try and stop it, but B, it's a waste of your time to try and stop it. Instead, I think what people are coming around to is, let's be fair and consistent within job roles and really set starting salaries that people don't negotiate. Like, this is a starting salary for the role. This is how you get promoted. And what I always used to say is, people understand that pay for performance, you know, your compensation is going to be based on the company performance, but they want to know, they understand that the pie is going to be a certain size, right? What they want to understand is, how does that pie get divided up? So when you're setting expectations, it's best to be very clear around what the process is. I had an employee who I hired, and she came to me 3 months into the role, and she said, you know, I don't make enough for what I'm doing, and I want a raise. And oh, by the way, in the recruiting process, I had a job offer from another company that was 15% more than this. And I was like, why didn't you take that job? You know, like, who's going to turn down a 15% higher, right? And she said, well, you know, that job was very narrow on benefits, and I was going to be doing more here, and I really liked you all. You seemed more fun. And I said, well, that's great. But now, you know, you should have brought that up during the interview process. That was the time to negotiate your salary. You need to find out at a company what their comp processes are, when you can negotiate salaries. I said, I can't do anything right now because you'd be an out-of-cycle increase. And I just literally can't, right? We have these processes and we have to be consistent. I can't be the one that's breaking my own process. And so that's something that I always try to tell employees about compensation is, find out what the processes are, what the decision points are. So like you said, how do people get promoted? What constitutes a promotion? When do they happen? You know, a lot of companies have gone to focal reviews. And so there's a one time a year where you can get a salary increase.
Got it. Kim, I want to end this with asking you if the listeners who are, you know, really loving everything that you're saying, if they only could remember one thing, the most important thing about optimizing the employee experience that you want them to walk away from this interview, having and internalizing and putting into practice, what would that be?
Begin with the end result in mind. Think about what you want to achieve, what success looks like for your employees, and then set them up for that success.
Short and sweet. I love it. Kim, thank you so much for being such an awesome guest on our podcast. We really appreciate all the wisdom you have dropped here. And big shout out to you, because this is your very first podcast. So, Kim, thanks for being on the show.
Woo! Kim, you're awesome.
So, Kim, where can people who want to follow up with you find you and 1000 Eyes online?
You can find 1000 Eyes online at 1000eyes.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to include all that info in the show notes. So if this is your very first time listening to the podcast and you want more, you want more of these because you thought that this was interesting and you want to become better at the HR role, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to awesome podcasts. Also, if you enjoyed this episode as much as Kim and I did making it, please leave us a 5-star rating because it shows that we're providing great content. And also share with as many HR leaders as you can because I know this is a very interesting topic to the community. And last but not least, all you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids. We'll be right back.